Hello, good morning. It's Wednesday, April 15th, and this is Israel in 10, the BizGav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. Make sure you sign up with your email to get this fast, focused update in your inbox daily. Well, when will the Iranian people rise up and defeat the regime? In a few moments, I'll put that question to Ravin Khorshid Alam, an Iranian dissident living in Europe. That's coming up. But first, the headlines. The Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah has fired dozens of rockets into northern Israel. At least one man was lightly injured. It follows landmark talks between the Lebanese government and Israel in Washington yesterday. Representing Israel, Ambassador Yehiel Leiter said the two countries are on the same side. Hezbollah says it will not abide by any agreement and has threatened to drag Lebanon back into civil war. Meanwhile, the IDF continues to advance in southern Lebanon and is closing in on the group's stronghold of Bint Jebel. President Trump's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz appears to be working. CENTCOM says not a single vessel left Iranian ports on day one. Six ships were intercepted and ordered to turn back. Even the Chinese tanker, the Rich Starry, failed to break through. After briefly exiting the Gulf, it couldn't reach open waters and is now holding in the straits. Call it a US-China game of chicken. And Washington blinked last. President Trump says talks with Iran could resume within 48 hours, comments that sent the oil price tumbling. He also says he has no intention of extending the two-week ceasefire beyond April 22nd. Speaking to US media, Trump said Iran desperately wanted a deal and warned that rebuilding the country could take at least 20 years. France appears to be cutting its own deals with Tehran. 2 weeks after Iran released two French nationals jailed on espionage charges, an Iranian woman has now returned home. Mahdia Esfandiari had been arrested for promoting terrorism, including social media posts celebrating October 7th. She was released on bail last year. Two French citizens, Jacques Paris and Cécile Coller, spent 3 years in prison on charges they strongly deny. The war in Sudan enters its fourth year today, a conflict many now call the Forgotten War. Hundreds of thousands have been killed, 11 million displaced, and a staggering 18 million are on the brink of famine. There's no end in sight to the fighting between the Sudanese armed forces and the RSF militia. A donors' conference will be held later today in Berlin. And finally, they're calling it the super shekel. Israel's currency is at a 30-year high, approaching 3 shekels to the dollar. Not exactly what you'd expect from a country fighting on multiple fronts, but investors are betting on progress with Lebanon and on the US blockade of Iranian oil, forcing a diplomatic breakthrough. At the same time, global powers, including the US and NATO, are placing major orders for battle-tested Israeli defense tech. Some analysts say one thing could push the shekel even further, the fall of the regime in Tehran. Well, on that note, let's listen to today's conversation with Iranian activist Ravin Khorshid Alam. So, Ravin, every Israeli analyst I speak to talks about when the Iranian people will rise up and overthrow this regime. When will it happen? Will it happen?
Let me answer your question very rudely with another question. What happened on the 8th and 9th of January when we did rise up?
Thousands of people were killed, But have the conditions changed as a result of the war?
Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, they have brought in proxies, Hashad al-Shaab. And though when they were being brought in, there was a ceasefire, so Israel couldn't basically annihilate them. And yesterday, a couple of people got connected through VPN and they said they've basically taken over. Not only Hashad al-Shaab, also Pakistani proxies and Afghan proxies. So the exact same situation is still occurring, but now with non-Iranian proxies who are even more merciless. Women are specifically being targeted. All the checkpoints where the actual Basij and IRGC were manning have now been taken over by Hashad al-Shaab. And when they see women driving, they specifically target women and basically grope and sexually assault them as they frisk them for weapons or their mobile phones.
You're an Iranian activist. You're very active on social media. You've been targeted personally.
Not only with threats on my life, like physical threats, but also my main Instagram page that's called Rosso World has been targeted since Friday. I think I kicked a couple of wasps' nests, and they don't like what I'm saying. And when I did so, they couldn't actually take down my page because it was secured. But I think either on the inside of Meta or from the outside, they've tried to log in so many times that now I can't log in myself.
So they've gone after your account. There's this talking point right now, particularly in Europe, I'm seeing it, that basically this war has just left the Iranians under an even more brutal regime, that Mojtaba is worse than his father, that the IRGC is in control and it's actually worse than it was before. What would you say to those people?
They have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Mojtaba Khamenei was already pulling the strings. I mean, in 2019, Bloody November, when he gave the kill order and they killed thousands of protesters outside, was it more brutal then or is it or now? When they were still gang raping us for four decades in prisons, 5 decades, was it more brutal then? I mean, how do you measure the brutality of the regime that has been gang raping, torturing, executing, and shooting us in the streets? So they are just doing the same thing on a bigger scale because the protests were on a bigger scale. I don't know how people come up with this stuff, which is absolutely ridiculous, for they have no idea what they're talking about. The brutality was always instilled in them. They are brutal. And when the scales become bigger, the brutality becomes larger, not more brutal.
What are people inside Iran saying to you right now, Ravin? What are their hopes for the future?
Well, before the war started, everyone almost unanimously, except if they're working for the regime, said, we want the bombing to continue until these people are annihilated, until they're so much weakened that we can go out. What happened? Trump and the IDF and Bibi Netanyahu, they bombed them for 2-3 weeks. And just when they're getting the upper hand, they bring in proxies and there's a ceasefire. So let's just finish the job instead of going back to square one.
But what will finish the job? Will it take arming Iranians? Can it be toppled from the air? How can we topple this regime?
It can't be toppled from the air. The Iranian people cannot go unarmed into the streets and face people that are willing to use army-grade weaponry. This is still the case. I mean, I don't know what people expect from us. It's like they want Iranians to be slaughtered like lambs to the slaughterhouse. We can't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. So when will we go out? When the regime is annihilated and when the people have a fair chance.
What do you think is going to happen with the negotiations this week? Do you think Iran will take a deal?
They can't do it because their whole existence is based on those 10 premises. And if they can't have those, then they are so much weakened that the regime is going to fall. Guarantee that Iran will not be attacked again. Permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire. End to Israeli strikes in Lebanon. I mean, they will also want to interfere in Israel's policies against their own enemies. So, and
they want to keep their nuclear program and they want to keep funding proxies and they're not willing to
surrender. So it's going to have to go back to war because they're also going to continue to enrich uranium. They have this company that's doing chemical testing and biochemical warfare designs. There's very little known about this company, but what we do know is that this company was in charge of removing uteruses of killed protesters because there was massive sexual assault. So when you talk about brutality, these companies that are capable of doing this kind of stuff, they didn't create it after the protest. This already existed. So the design of the brutality has always been there.
Do you have any hope for the future?
I have to have hope because I've dedicated my life to this. So I will fight for this till the end. I've been in hiding myself for 3 months because the regime arm reaches far. So they have the capability of doing whatever they want. A Dutch-Iranian police officer was shot and is in a coma in Holland because he was doxing regime enforcers outside of Iran and pinpointing missile sites for the IDF that were being blown up.
So Do you trust the Dutch authorities to keep you safe?
No. No, because they know exactly what situation I've been. I've talked to the team of foreign threats and other departments of the police, and nothing has been done to ensure my safety.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. Be sure to sign up with your email and receive these updates daily. Goodbye.